We spent a lot of time on Yarg VaYavar, went through a number of the Rishonim, the Tosfos, the Balmor, the Mechamos, and we were discussing for the most part the concept of giving your life up for the Gimel Averos, Midin Chil Hashem, Midin Chomer Havera, some Nafkimis that are related. That's all one topic. Now within the Yarg VaYavar there are two exceptions where one must give their life up for any mitzvah. And that appears in the bottom of Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, carried through Amud Beis, where the Gemara tells us, "V'shas gzeres hamalchus." When it comes to gzeres hamalchus, that even a mitzvah kala, a person must give their life up. And the same holds true for b'farhesya. When it comes to a public event in front of 10 Jewish people, one must give their life up. We discussed a little bit before Pesach how one defines shas gzera. We haven't discussed yet what's the definition of b'farhesya. For example, when for Hesher, the Gemara tells us it has to be 10 Jews, not non-Jews, it has to be 10 Jews. Is a katan, is a woman, is a eved, are those included in 10 Jews? An eved, kanani, keeps a certain amount of mitzvahs. Is a katan included? What about the person himself? Is he counted? Because in the end, he's giving his life up. Is he counted as the 10th person? Or it should be 10 other than him? That's a suffix brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. So maybe we'll do that, touch upon that a little bit tomorrow. But whatever is considered a public arena, one must give a life up, even for mitzvah kala. The same holds true for shas gezera. So we have to ask the question, what exactly is a mitzvah kala? If someone, rechmona litzlan, is put in a situation in front of 10 people, or doing shas shmat, a gun to his head, and says, violate this avera, does one have to eat pig? Do you have to give your life up or not? The Gemara tells you, I'll tell you what a mitzvah kala is. The Gemara says, afilu lushnuye arkasa dimisana, even to change arkasa dimisana, some type of shu, unclear what that means. So Rashi tells us, Sarah Hanal, Shim Derchaov de Kochovim Lukshurkach, if the way non-Jews would tie their shoes, V'derech Yisrael binin acher, and Yidden would tie their shoes in a different way, Kigon Shiyesh Tzad Yadis, whatever, there's some element of Yadis, it wasn't just randomly that they tie their shoes differently, there was some meaning behind why the Jews tied this way, V'derech Yisrael Yosnuim, and the ways of Yidden are to be Tanua, afilu shinoiza, even such a small type of difference, even that change, she'ain kan mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah at all. Hello, minog ba'alma, simply a minog. Yekadesh es Hashem b'fnei chaveru Yisrael v'hai parasim m'daber b'Yisrael. You have to give your life for even the way you tie your shoes. Tosfos writes, l'chora it's mashma that the shoes that they wore were blacks. Black shoes are different than that of non-Jews. He quotes the Gemara Baba Kama, which says that Elazar Zeira, we wear black shoes to be Mitzabel in Yushalayim, wear black clothing, and it's mashed for the same way in the Gemara in Tainus. But then he says the Gemara in Beit Asim seems to sound differently. Rabbi Tam says really everyone's shoes were black. What was different was the shoelaces were different. The shoelaces of the Akum were black, and the shoelaces of the Bnei Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, were white. And when it says Elazar Ze'iri wore black, it means he wore black shoelaces also to be Miss Abel on Yerushalayim. So Rashi talks about the way they tie it. Tosfos talks about what they actually wore. Okay, so before we start figuring out what's going on, let's delve a little further. Let's look at the riff for a moment. The riff found on the back in Yud Zayin Amud Beis, the riff writes, what does Arkasa de Misana mean? He says, Perish Chacham, Perish Hanochim Sheba Osa Azman, the non Jews of those time, Hayu Osin Ritzul Sheminalein Adumos, they would wear red shoes, Vyisrael Hayu Osin Shachoros, and the Jews would wear black ones, Kadeshala Yabashi Mabash Nochri, in order that they shouldn't wear the clothing of the non Jews. Chukas Akum, it sounds like. Chukas Akum. So from the riff, let's look at the riff. We'll work backwards for a moment. The riff says it's about clothing you wore for chukas akum, which is an iser de'araisa. Iser de'araisa, to dress like the non-Jews. You can't dress like, how one defines dressing like the non-Jews is a very complicated topic. Someone spoke last semester about chukas akum. Is that you? You guys discussed chukas akum last year? The chabur gave, right? Mm-hmm. So the Gra famously was known for saying a doctor cannot wear a white coat because that's what the non-Jewish doctors wore. What is chukas? I once had someone tell me that chukas akum is defined by why do you wear the let's say the zenya suit? Do you wear the zenya suit for the label, or do you wear the zenya suit because it's a nice, comfortable suit? Do you wear the North Face because of the North Face, or do you wear the North Face because you like the coat? Is it for the brand name, or it's because it's a good quality? If you're wearing for the brand name, that's chukas akum. If you're wearing for the quality of the quote, and it happens, the coat, and it happens to be a brand name, you're wearing the Prada glasses for the Prada, so everyone sees the Prada, or you like the glasses, you look good in the glasses. So someone said that was the tensions behind it is what defines what chukas akum. But chukas akum is an issa deraisa. So we learn from the riff is that you person, even for any issa deraisa, you have to give your life up. And the non-Jew says, start wearing the Prada glasses to be like all the other non-Jews. You have to start wearing, you cannot wear the these nice glasses. Whenever it's, yeah.
So that sounds like it's a deraisa of chukas akum.
Correct.
But the way Rashi says it, tying the shoes, it sounds like a mitzvah kala, like not that.
It's not even a mitzvah kala. If you look back at Torah, like Rashi, yeah. Rashi calls it a minhag. Yeah. A minhag. It's a huge machlokas. Rashi, even for a minhag, the way they tie their shoes, in a minhag, how do we tie the shoes? So it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, you put your right foot on, you put your left foot on, you tie your left foot, you tie your right foot, and you untie your right foot, you untie your left foot, you take off your left foot, you take off your right foot. And there's a famous story that goes something along those lines in the Holocaust, one of these stories that person, you know, felt so connected, even though he had nothing left to Yadis. Even the Holocaust couldn't perform any mitzvahs. The one thing he had to hold on to was the way he put his shoes on and took his shoes off. That's one thing. And because he did that, he learned that halacha or that minhag or whatever you want to call it, that kept him strong. That kept the connection. So even a minhag with a certain basis, it's not just a random minhag. It has to be a minhag based on something. Rashi is a minhag based on yadus, a minhag based on tznius. That tznius doesn't really seem to fall into what the example I'm giving, but Rashi is just giving an example. So what comes out is Rashi says any minhag, even a minhag of Klal Yisrael, you cannot give up. Tell us, Riff says, it's a deraisa. Any issa, the example given is the chukas akum, but any other issa deraisa. Mash ain kain, a minhag.
So why is it called a mitzvah?
Oh, sorry.
It says take your
yarmulke. Excellent question. So the beautiful sefer I have here, Mechol Nafshecha, which Eitan Jacobs lent to me. I really want to get it for myself. So he talks about that's mamash and nafkamina. And then maybe nafkamina, wearing yarmulke. A non-Jew says walk around without wearing yarmulke. What's the halacha for wearing yarmulke? Is that a real halacha?
It's a real halacha.
Real halacha?
I thought it said in the Torah.
So it's very interesting. So Pashtus is Demidas Chasidus. Pashtus. Pashtus is Demidas Chasidus. And he quotes the Bach, who says this, the Taz, this is all found in the Bach in Simon Beis of Or HaChaim quotes this, the Taz, Or HaChaim Simon Ches, quotes the idea that it's only Midas Chasidus. The Taz, however, argues, Taz thinks it's really an Issa D'Oraisa. Taz thinks it's Chukas Akum. He does think wearing Yarmulke is Chukas Akum. But if you assume it's Midas Chasidus, which is Pashtus, how we hold.
Wearing a yarmulke is Chukas Akum.
So the idea of wearing a yarmulke, meaning he thinks it, right, wearing a yarmulke, according to most poskim, it's a Midas Chasidus. So someone comes up to you and says, stop wearing the yarmulke or I'm going to kill you. And it was in front of 10 Jews. Rashi says, that's a minhag. The minhag, mitzvah chassidus, but it's a minhag. Give your life up. Riff would say, it's not deraisa. Take your yarmulke off. Save your life. There's no, it's a deraisa involved in taking your yarmulke off. Now if you hold like the Taz, that no, not wearing a yarmulke would be chukas akum, any violation of an issa deraisa, then yes, for that Taz, even the Riff would say one should have to give their life up. So great, that was a great segue into that nafkamina. Now, what would you say the opinion of Tosfos is in this regard?
He doesn't
what? For what? No, not for, no, just in general. What's a shita? What's the definition of akarsa de masana? I agree. He's talking about the clothing you wore. He's not talking about how you tie your shoe. He's talking about the clothing that you wear.
What's a mitzvah kala? Why is it called mitzvah kala then? If it's a deraisa, right? Chukas akum, right? Why is it called mitzvah kala?
No, because mitzvah chamura is the gimel averos, and ain't below is mitzvah kala.
Any mitzvah is a mitzvah kala then?
I mean, how much? Exactly. In regards to that, I think a bigger kasha is for Rashi, who calls it a minhag. That doesn't seem to fit in.
Where does he get that?
Exactly. Now, the Rambam seems to also agree with the Rif and the Tosfos. While the Rif and Tosfos both define Akasa de Masana as to the clothing you're wearing, and they're pashas in Isser Chukas Akum, and Isser Deraisa, Rambam doesn't actually define for us what Akasa de Masana means, but he tells us which mitzvah a person has to give their life up. He says, when it comes to Farhesya, even it comes to any mitzvahs of the other mitzvahs. Any mitzvah. He doesn't say minag. He says mitzvah. Sounds like the Rif. Any Issa deraisa. Sounds like the Tosfos. And the Kesem Misha picks up on this and says he sounds like the Rif. And it's against the Rashi, who says it's all about minag. Now, I think the Beis Yosef, I think, wanted to lump together the Rif and Rashi, is that right? It's an interesting point here. Beis Yosef, right in the beginning of Siman Kuf Nun Zayin, quotes this whole Gemara here, quotes Rashi, then he quotes the Rif, and he quotes the Ma'arik, who says, why does the Rif choose the Goyim's clothing as red clothing, and the Jewish clothing as black clothing? Because red clothing is not the way it's tzinua dresses. For sure, not women, but men also. Red clothing is a very loud, it's an attractive type of color. You don't see men wearing red so much. I guess pink these days, the past few years, have been a little more popular for men to wear. But red clothing, bright red, is not so tzinua to wear that type of clothing. So that's why Tafka chose the color red in explaining this. That's why the Rif did that. And he thinks the Rif and Rashi are actually saying the same thing. Now, I seem to have argued on this. Alanis Daiti, it seems like they're very different. The Kesem Mishnah also thought they're very different. Even though it's the Beis Yosef in both places, the Beis Yosef and the Kesem Mishnah, he thinks Rashi and the Rif say the same thing. Rashi, because Rashi says the Lashon Tzenua, and Minog based on Tznius. And the Rif says wearing non-Jewish clothing, which is red. Red is something that's not Tzenua. So therefore, they're probably saying the same thing about Tznius. But you look carefully, Rashi says it's Minog. The Rif says the Chukas Akum in Issa Deraisa, they're not saying the same thing. Why did the Rif talk about red clothing? Not necessarily because it's Tznius. He spoke about the red clothing because that's perhaps what the Goyim used to wear. I don't know, don't the Cardinals wear red clothing? Right? I don't know, do they?
But also, the whole jerseys might be a different.
Right.
Because just to distinguish between A and B.
Right.
Or is it the baseball team or the Cardinals?
Like? Nah, I felt like I meant the Cardinals like the Christian Cardinals. I really meant that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I really meant,
I thought you were
talking about a baseball team. That's funny, I wasn't even on my mind, that's funny, I wonder if that's what...
I realized what you were talking about at first, but then...
I wonder if that's why, there must be some connection that why we call Redbirds Cardinals in America, have to do because the Cardinals wore red.
Maybe it's the other way around, No,
the Cardinals existed way before America existed. So I look into that, it's interesting, just a piece of information, is that why they're called the Cardinals? Okay, I think the Cardinals were red. Do any? I hope you don't know this, but I think they're right.
Yeah.
Okay, it's true. So I wonder if that's what he was referring to. But I mean, the priests wore black. I'm not sure if that was always true. Anyway, so that's the machlokes again, minag versus nisa deraisa. There is a pretty chadash in the back in the Sefer Likutim, in the back of the Frank Rambam. There's a section called Sefer Likutim, and here quotes a number of opinions on this issue, and he quotes the Pri Chadash. The Pri Chadash writes, sorry. So he has this halach, he quotes a Yushalmi in Shvius. The Yushalmi in Shvius says, even on a mitzvah kala, what's a mitzvah kala according to the Yushalmi in Shvius, Perak Dan halach Beis, could go on papas v'lo lionis, which are brothers, that they gave mayin in a colored glass, and they didn't accept it from them. Harei she'af apichelo hayu overmeldas, even though there's nothing wrong with accepting the water in this colored pitcher, ela she'ayisar kavanasim agayim laharis la'olam she'im overmeldas. The Goyim wanted to say, oh, you see, the Jews are accepting this pitcher from us, and they're violating their religion. In Mishnah, you show some stam yenam, and you see, look, they're drinking stam yenam means just stam wine. We don't know whether it was. There's an iser. If the goyim took wine and they used it for avodah zarah, can't drink it. That's
even if they just touch it, right?
Even they touch now, they even they touch it, just al tekzeres. But midderaisa, they even if they pour it on top of for avodah zarah purposes, that's called yayin esach. Also, now stam yenam is. Any the gzera that said any wine, even if it wasn't used, there's a gzera maybe they did use it or whatever's behind it. Even stam yenim, it's that they're abanon. One cannot use this wine. If you have an open bottle of non mevushel wine and a non Jew touches it, you can't drink it. If it's mevushel, there's a difference in mevushel versus in mevushel. It's a big discussion. The reasoning behind it, but mevushel, which most wines are mevushel, a non Jew can touch it. If it's ain't a bushel, it cannot. If it's still unopened, then you're allowed to. A non-Jew can't touch it. I actually had, Ramos gave me this very nice bottle of wine.
From Argonis?
Yeah.
Best wine.
It's a great wine. You ever try using it for Dalat Kosos?
No. No, I didn't get that much.
So, it's very, very... What?
Yeah.
You had it?
Yeah.
For your Dalat Kosos?
Well, we mixed it a little.
So he gave it to me. It was a great for Pesach night. So I looked at it. It was 15.5%. That's a lot for kids. A lot for kids one. But Ramos told me it was good for Dalakosas. What?
Don't mess around before I go.
Like right. So I sent my in-laws for the Seder this year, and I saved it for Pesach, and I poured it. And I we had smaller cups. We don't have too much of it. So but enough for Ravis. But I'm not going to finish the entire cup. Based on the Mishnah Berurah, the Poskim say this, Shulchan Aruch says this. So I had probably this big, and I downed it. And it was great, really delicious, really enjoyable wine. It's not the way it's meant to be drink, but really good. I'm like, 15.5%, not so bad. And, the meal's dragging out, and finally ready for the second cup. I'm like, shot another. So I have two shots this big, and it was like thick, it wasn't like shot glass, it was bigger, of 15.5% wine. And then my body started like shaking, and it had the matzah. So I started like, it's not like bread, where the bread can help, whatever the word is, diluting the wine, absorb the wine. So the matzah is not going to do that for you. So I'm like, I had all the matzah, I had all the mara, and my body's shaking. Then my mother-in-law brought soup, so I'm just having matzah balls. I took my daughter's matzah balls because those are a little thicker to absorb it. And then I'm like running around the house, like trying to get it out of me. And then thank God I kind of calmed down. I guess all the matzah balls absorbed it. Anyway, so it was delicious wine. I'm like, I can't use this for Dalakosas. For the next two, I used like a 3.5%. It tasted like water in respect to that. So anyway, I wanted to use it the next day just for wine. As a nice bottle of wine to drink during the Seder, during the Suda. But it was a mevushel. So but I went to sleep so early. I went to sleep at 12:30 because I was just like gone. And I couldn't like hide it overnight because, someone comes to help out. A non-Jew comes out to help my mother-in-law during the day. So the next morning I woke up, I came back, I was like looking all over her, like where it was. I said, oh, my wife must have hid it somewhere for me. She probably knew. And then later I was looking for it. I asked my wife, she didn't know where it was. She didn't hide it. And I realized it was in the kitchen. Someone put it in the kitchen right where the non-Jew was working. And I didn't know if she had touched it or not.
And it
wasn't mevushel. And unfortunately I had to throw the rest out. It was so chaval, delicious wine. Anyway, so that's a halacha of a long story about stam yenam. Stam yenam, if a non-Jew touches, you can't have. So this story here, they wanted to try to show that, you see, these Jews are drinking stam yenam, they're violating their das, and even afal pi kein, these people in the story here gave their life up. So we see from here, even for an iser derabanan, a person must give their life up. Up until now, we saw Rashi was talking about a minhag. If you have to give your life up for a minhag, for sure an iser derabanan, you have to give your life up. We saw Tosfos and the Rif were talking about the way Chukas Akum dresses. Sounds like
Shashmar in that case?
It was for Hesia, I think they said. I'm not sure which case it is, but it's got to be one or the other. So I'll get to your point in a second about those two different things. But we see from Tosfos and the Rif, it's all about Chukas Akum. Sounds like an Issa Deraisa to the exclusion of an Issa Derbanon. Maybe only an Issa Deraisa you have to give your life up. The Rambam as well, but Nisa the Durabon, you won't have to give your life up. This would be yet another Nafkamina. Yeah, again, Meir brought an earlier Nafkamina, the wearing Yarmulkes, which is a Midas Chasidus. What about Nisa Durabon? Rashi would seem to say you have to give your life up for Nisar Derabanan. The Arayim, one of the Sefer Mitzvahs, writes, Afilu Dikduke Midivre Sofrim, even a Dikduk that Midivre Sofrim, that the Derabanan had some Diyuk, they made a Mitzvah, that too you have to give your life up for. While for the Rambam and the Tos and the Rif, you would not have to give your life up. Now, John was asking Shashmad Parhesia, is there a difference? The Gemara seems to link the two. The Gemara says, Shashmad, you have to give your life up, even a Mitzvah Kala. Comes to Farhesia, Afil Mitzvah Kala. When you look at the tour, I won't read it inside, he sounds like he's Mechalik. Maybe I will read it inside. He sounds like there is a distinction between the two. I was actually learning this over Shabbos. Just reading through the tour and the Nosei Kalim on the side. Someone made this ha'ara, someone on the bottom here. I can't find it right now, but he seems to distinguish between a mitzvah kala from Pehesia versus a mitzvah kala in Shas Shmad. And one of the people on the side, maybe the Prisha, the Drisha, the Archimosha, I don't remember who, says, although the language is different in the Torah, the halachas are exactly the same. And the Shach writes the same thing on the Shulchan Aruch, that whatever the mitzvah kala for Pehesia, the same mitzvah kala for Shas Shmad. There's no distinction. You could make an argument for the Torah, there might be, but the halacha we pass in there is no difference. Now, what about when it comes to a shevi al tase, a passive type of avera, versus a kumvi ase, actively violating? What about a mitzvah ase, a positive commandment? So there are other types of mitzvahs. We'll stop here, but maybe tomorrow we'll go through some of the other halachas and read through the Shulchan Aruch about these passive types of averas, a positive mitzvah, and then we'll complete wrap up this sugya of Mitzvah Kala.